Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. So ends the Old Testament reading. In that day, and those three words, in that day, seems to be a theme that runs through the Old Testament and on into the New Testament. There are days set apart by God for what He will do. One thing before we dive fully in is be careful not to spiritualize the text, such as saying that, well, the deaf hear with a spiritual hearing that is inside. Yes, that's there. But Jesus actually did heal the deaf and heal the blind. So when John sent and asked, "Are you the one?" Jesus replied, "Tell John what you've seen," and quoted the Old Testament prophecies that the deaf will hear, the blind will see, the lame walk, the dead will be raised, and the poor will have the gospel preached to them. And I need to mention that I saw a part of the fulfillment of all of this last month when we were off at the International Lutheran Deaf Association Convention and the EFEVA Pastors of the Deaf Conference, and to see the Word of God shared and spoken in sign. Yeah, that is a bit of the fulfillment, isn't it? But now diving in. The Old Testament lesson begins with a book that cannot be read. The first one, cannot read it because it's sealed. The second one, cannot read it because it cannot read. And that actually divides up into two parts and takes us to the Apostle Paul. There are many in the time of Jesus who knew how to read the Old Testament, who knew how to read the words in the book, but they could not understand it. It was sealed. Because the entire Word of God and the prophecies and the promises, all of those open up only in connection with understanding that Jesus is the Christ. And so for the Pharisees, it looked perfectly reasonable to look at the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, and yet the tradition was that if you said, whatever you would have received from me is devoted to the Lord, to just say that once, you no longer were able to help your parents with anything. Seemed perfectly reasonable to them. The book was sealed. Seemed perfectly reasonable to Paul to go around after the stoning of Stephen, to go around and round up Christians and put them into prison and see that some of them were put to death. Perfectly reasonable because the book was sealed. And it's only as he rides approaching the city of Damascus, and there is the vision of Jesus. Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Only then, when that one piece of the truth of God, the central piece of the truth of God, is put in place, that suddenly all the rest makes a different and perfect sense. And the book is no longer sealed to his eyes. And the second group is those who are without the Word of God and cannot understand the Word of God because they don't even have the Word of God and they cannot read it because it is not there in their language. And so darkness is there in our world. It is the darkness of being without the light of the Scripture, and it is a silence of being without the Word of God. And darkness spreads through the world. We notice when it spills out and terrible things happen. Pray for the Christians in other parts of the world who are even now in grave danger and will be even more so if things continue the way that they are. Pray for them to be solid in trusting the words and promises of God, even in the face of suffering and death. We notice when the darkness spills out into things that happen. It's harder to notice when the darkness and the silence is simply the lack of the Word of God, and that may be also in our lives. It's easy to not be concerned as long as the nice things of life keep on happening, and then suddenly notice when something terrible takes place. And the reason why this is so important is that we are able to see and fail to see, to hear and fail to hear. And that's from a different passage in Isaiah. It's from Isaiah 6, Isaiah's call to be a prophet and go to a people who would not listen and would not see. There is darkness gathering. There always is. What then to say about this? The Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word," that is Jesus. "He was in the beginning with God. Through him all things were made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, swallowed it up. He came into the world to bring salvation. What does that mean? That means that we have been among those to whom the Word of God has been closed. And Jesus came to set us free from sin and death, from the darkness and the silence, from the consequences of the things that we have done in our lives and that we have done in our souls, to deliver us from the darkness and the evil that is all around. And again, going back to a month ago at the International Lutheran Deaf Association, there's a certain issue going back and forth how to translate the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer, "But deliver us from evil." Do you translate it as, and I will sign it, "but deliver," or save, "but deliver us from," and then one group translates like this, which means troubles and distress and all kinds of things that happen in life. Evil. Or do you translate it, "but deliver us from"? And I'll let you see and take a guess as to the meaning of this sign. "But deliver us from." That goes back to the original Greek, where if we were to pray the Lord's Supper according to that wording, we would be praying, "but deliver us from the evil one." You see, it's personal. There is an evil one. The Bible tells us about this. One who delights in distress and in unbelief and in human suffering and death and eternal separation from God, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus came into the world to deliver us from darkness and evil, from the evil one. Jesus came to take our death on himself. He came to take the judgment on himself. He came to take the separation from God on himself. He came to take the silence from heaven and the darkness all around on himself. And outside Jerusalem on a certain day, there was a cry that went up. Jesus came to take all of that on himself so that he could bring the resurrection from the dead, so that he could make us to share in his Easter and in his resurrection. Jesus came to open up heaven and make the way to the Father without obstacle or hindrance, and open up eternity so that we could live forever with him. That is why he came. The promises come through in the Old Testament lesson. First off, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. And the wonders that God would do would be to send his only begotten Son into the world to be one of us, to show who he was, not only through miracles, but also through his teaching. Wonder upon wonder. That there would be a day when judgment would be poured out, and then there would be a day when the grave would be shattered. Wonder upon wonder. The promise comes through in the words later on in the Old Testament lesson. In that day. Here we are at the theme. In that day. In the last verse of the Gospel of Matthew. And behold, I am with you all the days. Again, a more literal reading of the Greek. All the days. Because you see, there are days of salvation and days of answered prayers and days of holding on to God's promises. And those are days of waiting. And God talks about certain very specific days. There is the day when God said, let there be light, and the whole thing began. There was the day of the fall into sin when God would speak the promise once again that the seed of the woman would come to set us free. There was in Egypt the day of the lamb with the blood marking the doors and God claiming the Old Testament people as his own. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he will stand upon the earth. There was the day of God coming into the world when an angel went to a virgin and said, you will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. There was the day of God walking among us in the world, going to a garden to pray for us, followed by bearing the judgment, and the day of breaking and destroying death. Right now, we are living in the days when, in that day, the deaf will hear the words of a book and the eyes of the blind will see. As the word of God spreads through the whole world, as people are called into the kingdom of God from every nation and people and tribe and language. And then there will be a day when all is fulfilled and the meek obtain fresh joy and the poor exult in the Holy One of Israel and the entire Christian church, the full number of those who know Jesus will stand before God celebrating the joy of eternal life. In that day, Jesus himself will exult over us. The reference is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. He will exult over you with loud singing. And Christians are sent into the world, into a world that is determined not to hear, sent to show the love of Jesus to a world that is determined not to see. But that doesn't change the message, and that doesn't change our being sent. And in fact, have we not seen? Is this not what Jesus told his disciples about? When there is a lot of the world determined not to see and not to hear, there are at the same time a whole lot of people desperately hungry, deep within the soul, where the signs of hearing and grasping and seeing with the heart, they're there. The deep hunger inside that cannot be filled with things, but only with the word of God about Jesus Christ and the word of Jesus Christ. It's the same yesterday, today, and unto the end of the world. The same as when Jesus was preaching the gospel and there was opposition and plenty of people were determined not to see and not to hear. And he turned and he told his disciples to look around and see that the fields are ripe for the harvest. Because you see, ultimately none of the things in this world can satisfy. And the religion of the Pharisees, a religion of laws and commandments, and you do this and you don't do that, that was not able to fill the soul the way the soul needed to be filled. And all of the things that people all over the world pursue in our day with such passion, those things only cover over. They cover over an emptiness within the soul that can only be filled when we are finally brought back into an eternal relationship with the eternally living God. And we are sent into the world, a world that does not even know what it is missing, to bring the word of Jesus and the word about Jesus and the words from Jesus, because God is still seeking to bring each one into eternal life. We've received those words from Jesus. We need to share those words with each other. Because if you look around you this morning, you find out that everyone around you, right here in the church, is hungry. Hungry for those words. Hungry to hear the sweet gospel message once again. And as we speak that gospel to each other, that in part is how God equips us then to share the gospel message with those who haven't heard. In Jesus' name, amen.